welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. Well, with the Lord's help, we will spend with this one final day on the subject of avoiding presumption. And we are going to be looking at the examples that are given, some important ones, in the book of 1 Samuel regarding the first king of Israel, and that is Saul. He was anointed of God, and God promised him that if he would obey him, he would build a kingly line after him. So let's start reading, and as we do, the examples I've been sharing, these aren't wicked, ungodly people that have, whether it was Gehazi or well, in Naaman's case, he was a heathen, but in terms of he didn't know the God of Israel, but the miracle, we were just talking about the sin of presumption. But in these other examples I've been giving, we can see that even the godly can fall prey to presumption and pride and arrogance rather than being walking softly before the Lord with humility of heart. So let's find out what happens. And I'm reading from 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter. And it said, some of the Hebrews went over Jordan, this is verse 7, to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. In other words, we're talking about the Philistines had gathered themselves together, and there was a huge multitude against them. The people were distressed. In fact, they were hiding in caves. And in verse 8, it says, the king Saul tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. In other words, the prophet Samuel said, you wait 7 days and then I'll come and then we will sacrifice. But Samuel came not to Gilgal. The Lord sometimes does test us. And what happened? He began to be fearful because the people were being scattered from him and they were leaving. They were in fear. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. Now, as we found out with the case of Uzziah, he was offering incense before the Lord, and only the priests, the sin of presumption, he was not allowed to do that. And so Saul, because of fear, because of concern, he was motivated by his own emotions and feelings and disobeyed the command of the Lord. And verse 10, and it came to pass that as soon as he made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw the people were scattered from me, and thou camest not within the days appointed, and the Philistines gathered themselves together at Mishmash. Therefore I said, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I've not made supplication unto the Lord, and forced myself therefore, and offered a burnt offering. In other words, he had an excuse. This is something he had to do. And what did Samuel say? Verse 13, Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the command of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. I won't read verse 14, but he says, now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought a man after his own heart. He's referring, of course, to David. So let's go on and move over a little bit to the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel. And here we see a really stark illustration. Where shall we start? 1 Samuel said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. And thus saith the Lord of hosts, this is a prophetic word, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came out of Egypt. Now these are the instructions. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them. And he came to a city of Amalek. He laid wait in the valley. And going down to verse 7, he smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. Now listen to what happens. He took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, the king, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, they utterly destroyed. And then the Lord spoke to Samuel, who said, It repenteth me that I have made Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And Samuel basically cried unto the Lord all night. And when Saul met Samuel in the morning, he goes, verse 13, Blessed be thou, the Lord, I performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen? And basically, he said, Well, they brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the people. He's putting blame elsewhere. The best of the sheep and the oxen and the rest we've utterly destroyed. And then this is what Samuel then has to tell Saul. He said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Verse 18, I'm just paraphrasing. The Lord gave a specific message. Go utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them till they're consumed. And then he said, Wherefore didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And then basically, then he tried, so what was the people that did it? And this is a very important verse for us. Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness, that's one's own will, is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. And basically he said, Won't you come worship with me? And he said, I'm not going to. Samuel turned away. He actually tore the skirt of his garment. In verse 28, Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day and given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also, the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. And what that chapter ends by Samuel saying, Bring me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And basically Samuel said he hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. And that Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he made Saul king over Israel. So you see, beloved, the sin of presumption and pride, and there were other things. Just like in the case of Gehazi, it wasn't just presumption, it was greed. He wanted the reward that Naaman was willing to give to Elisha. Many times when we open the door, I mean, that opens just a multitude of other possibilities where we can be seriously tripped up. And in the case of Saul, obviously when Saul sought the witch of Endor, Samuel actually appeared and he said, This day you'll be with me. I don't believe Saul was burning in hell, but he certainly lost the privilege he could have been of having a kingly line established after him. And so, beloved, it's so important that we guard our hearts, to ask God to search our heart and see if there be any wicked way in in us. And so I promised I was going to pray. And so let's do that, because this may be something that, you know, you would not be likely to fall in, but we never know. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we come to you. And Lord, we've seen out of your word examples of godly people that were used of God in a mighty way. But Lord, they fell prey to the sins of the flesh. And Lord, chief of all of them, Lord, this pride is abhorrent to you. That was the sin of your chief arch enemy, Lucifer, and he tries to instill that in humanity for one reason or another, to see that our opinion is somehow to be honored more than obedience to God. And that arrogance of stubbornness, where our own will, we refuse to do the thing that's right. And rebellion, I mean, that's as the sin of witchcraft. We are basically setting ourselves against the Lord. So, Father, forgive us and help us, Lord, to have a clean and a pure heart before you, a heart that is not lifted up, a heart that desires only to please you. Father, we ask this in the mighty, matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you know the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak, so we depend upon the Holy Spirit to grant our requests as we are sensitive and walking before you with lowliness of heart. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, beloved, it's been a privilege to minister. I love God's word, and it's definitely for reproof. I mean, this should put the fear of God in us, that somehow we must never think we are exempt. The more successful, the more prosperous we are, the more, we've seen this in the body of Christ decades ago, those who prospered fell the hardest and the greatest. And so let us never think we are above temptation. And so I thank you for joining me. And if you have prayer needs, if you're struggling in this area or know others who have issues that we need to agree for their deliverance, I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you with all my heart. And until next week, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,